So Wendell, I hope you're out there listening this morning. And so Cindy and I are going to share a song, but before we share a song this morning, in my Bible reading, I read a verse this week that kind of inspired this song. And in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22, of course, the Bible talking about Noah after the flood, and it said, "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." And it made me think about the situation that we're going through right now in the world today, that it's uncertain times. But the Bible tells me that God is on his throne. Amen? And it doesn't matter. The sun came up this morning, and the sun's going to come up tomorrow morning. And even if the Lord were to come today to rapture the church away, guess what? The sun would rise for another 1,007 years. We'll be talking about that tonight in the message a little bit. And so the thought that the sun came up this morning, it just ensured in my heart, my faith, that God knows all about me, all about us, and that he cares very, very much. And so Cindy and I would like to sing a song this morning, hoping to be a blessing to you, entitled, "The Sun's Coming Up." Once again I face Satan this morning, and I battled him all the day long. But in my weakness, God sent reinforcements, and at the evening I'll sing victory song. And the sun's coming up in the morning. Every tear will be gone from my eyes. This old clay's gonna give way to glory, and like an eagle I'll take to the sky. Doubts and confusion. It's so hard when you don't understand. But I'll stand on a solid foundation, and I'll hold to his unchanging hand. The sun's coming up in the morning. Every tear will be gone from my eyes. This old clay's gonna give way to glory, and like an eagle I'll take to the sky. And the sun's coming up in the morning.
Thank you, Brother Glenn and Miss Cindy. And again, I don't know if they're not here because you're singing, or you're singing because they're not here, but maybe I need to try that. Appreciate that. We're trying to make it as much as like church, or I get over here to the side because this mic looks like it's covering my face. But we appreciate y'all. Be turning to Psalms chapter 4, verse 1 through 8. And if I look around and you're not here, it's just out of habit. Preachers try to look in the front and the back and look around, so that's what I'm doing. Psalms chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. I want to talk to you about how to respond in times of crisis. Let me give you a little background of this psalm here. First of all, historical background. David had wrote this psalm after he fled Jerusalem when his son Absalom took over the throne with a Q. We're familiar with that word. He was in times of crisis. And crises come into our lives in many different forms, in many ways: the loss of a family member or a friend, maybe an illness or disease, a financial setback, trouble, a family member, a relative that's given us a hard time, or maybe a flu epidemic, the swine flu, maybe the Spanish flu, maybe the coronavirus. And so we're going through that right now, and I want to share with you from God's Word about how we can respond in times of crisis. Now, and we've all faced these crises, but we're going to see David here from verse 1 to verse 8. He changes his tune just a little bit. He starts out feeling one thing, but by the time we get to verse 8, he's shouting for joy. And we're going to look at this psalm here first of all. Let's begin reading in Psalms chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, that's the ones that kind of helped Absalom take over. How long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing, Selah? In other words, what they were doing was useless. They were going to pay the price for it. In verse 3, but now the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. We need to remember that in the time of this coronavirus. God has set us apart. And the Lord will hear when I call upon him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart. By the way, beginning in verse 4 through verse 6, God is not speaking to David, but David is speaking to people about how we need to respond. Verse 4, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still, Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in mine corn and in my wine increased. And I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only maketh me dwell in safety. How do we respond in times of crisis? Well, number one, we need to cry out to the Lord. In verse 1, he said, hear me or answer me. David had been praying for God's help. He was in a desperate situation. The throne had been taken away from him by his own son. And notice what he says in verse 1. Notice how he addresses God. He says, O God of my righteousness. David tells us two things here. Number one, he implies that God is righteous, right? And then number two, and he would do the best for his people that he can, but also that David's righteousness came from God, the God of my righteousness. Therefore, God would vindicate him. Now, David had sinned, and he had sinned greatly, but God had forgiven him because he repented. But he still had to pay the consequences of his sin. David was being chastened for his sins, but God had forgiven him. And God called David to be king, and God would accomplish that purpose. But I noticed something in verse 1. He uses that word distress. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. That word distress can mean hard-pressed, or it can mean in a tight place. In other words, David remembers all the times he was in tight places and how God had delivered him. And that's one thing we need to do, church. Amen. We need to remember in the past how God has delivered us when we were in times of distress, when we were hard-pressed, when we were in a tough place, a tight place. And so he remembered that. And then notice what he said. You took me out of that tight place and you enlarged me. And he blessed David. So the first thing we need to do is cry out to the Lord. What did I see in verse 1? I see that David grew through his distress. David grew through his difficulty. He remembered how God had delivered him. And now he's growing through this one. He prayed on the basis of God's mercy. Now, I've told you and over, church, that America has sinned greatly against God. Killing babies, licensing same-sex marriage. And I think today that we need to cry out for God's mercy. Yeah, and the true church needs to pray out, God, show us mercy for the sake of Christ and for the sake of your church. And not because of our sins. You can't sin and get away with it. But here we need to cry out to the Lord. And I'm looking forward to that time when we're together again, because our first service back is going to be a hallelujah time. We're going to come together, and I want you to share what God has taught you through this. And I want you to share what you learned about God through this. We ought to be learning something about God right now. If not, he's wasting this on us.
Yeah, amen.
And so here's the principle. When you are in a crisis, look to the Lord. Trust a righteous God who will do what is right. And he has delivered you in the past, and if it's his will, he will show you mercy once again. So cry out to the Lord. The second way we respond in a crisis is to confront the crisis head on. Verses 2 and 3, O ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing, Selah? But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call upon him. So what he's saying here is these sons of men, they're the ones that got with Absalom, took the throne away from David. They rebelled against David, and they would suffer greatly for it. David calls it vanity. God's going to punish you greatly and dearly for your sins, and he certainly did. And they were fighting against the Lord and his will. They were fighting against God's man, and that does never go well for anybody that does that. And David did not try to compromise. What did he do? He called the rebels what they were. He called them what they were. And I think today, as we face this coronavirus, we need to face the reality of it. We don't need to ignore it. We need to confront it head on and not run and not weasel out. Just pray and trust the Lord and be smart and be safe. But we need to confront it. We are in a crisis, and we need to confront that. And what can I do and do my part? And maybe your crisis is not someone who wronged you, but you still need to confront that crisis head on, being honest about the problem and not denying the problem. Confront the reality of the crisis. It's not, I don't have corona, it's pollen. So you need to remember that. Cry out to the Lord. Confront the crisis head on. And then thirdly, encourage your family and friends. If there's ever a time we need to speak truth, there's ever a time we need to encourage one another. So many out there that don't know what's going on, and preachers are telling them the wrong things. They're ignoring Matthew 24, 6 and 7, that there's going to be increased pestilence and disease and contagions. And they're ignoring that and thinking that this is just happening. No, God is again getting the attention of America. And we need to remember that. And so David here in verses 4 and 5 turns his encouragement to his friends. Notice that. Now, again, this is not God speaking to David. This is David speaking to his friends and family. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. So encourage one another. That's what we need to be doing. I'm telling you what, with all the good quality family time, thank you, Faye, with all the good quality family time that we've had through this, I've never watched so many Andy Griffith reruns. And me and Faye have been sitting on the couch watching things I never thought I would watch. But we have some good quality time together, and I know you have as well. And we need to encourage each other. We need to encourage our family. Very quickly, let's run through these six instructions that David gave about how to respond. Verse 4, fear the Lord. Notice what he said. He says, stand in awe. Folks, in these times, we need to fear the Lord.
Yeah.
We need to have a healthy respect for him. We need to also, there is a healthy fear of the Lord, and we need to understand that. And don't fear anyone else. Don't fear the coronavirus. Don't fear whatever it is, but fear the Lord. And that's what we need to do. He says, stand in awe. And then he says in verse 4, notice what he said there, and sin not. It would be easy for the Christian to think, well, I'm in a different circumstances. You know, this is out of the ordinary, and become angry and maybe do some things you ought not do. But we need to watch what we say and what we do in times of crisis. Don't sin by unholy anger. And then he says in verse 4 also, notice what he says. He says, commune with your own heart upon your bed. In other words, it's a great time to search your soul and to take inventory of your life. You know, all these things that we took for granted were kind of like taken from us overnight, weren't they? And that's, by the way, that's Brother Glenn saying amen. And And they were taken away, and don't you now appreciate them more and wish you had them back? No longer can you jump in the car and go where there's a crowd of people anymore. I mean, we took so many things for granted. And you see how the world reacts over that. And then notice it's a great time to take inventory of our life and confess our sins. Are we right with God? Are we walking in obedience to Him? And then also in verse 4, He said, be still. He said, be still and gracious. Don't get caught up into the panic and the hysteria.
Yeah, that's right.
Be still and wait on the Lord. And then verse 5, He said, offer the right sacrifices before the Lord. Don't be insincere or hypocritical. And then verse 5, He says, trust the Lord. That's it, folks. I mean, trust the Lord. I mean, you know, if you haven't learned by now, you can't trust it. Your trust in the government's going to fail you. Even the trust in our president will fail us. But I'm telling you, we trust the Lord. Notice what He said in verse 5, offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust, what? In the Lord. And so that's what we need to do. And by the way, have you picked up what I picked up through this song? David is telling us, as John did yesterday in his Sunday school teaching, and we enjoyed that, and I hope he does it every week. Not too long, though, and we want to be back together. But we need to put our spiritual health ahead of our physical health, right?
That's right.
And that's what we need to be examining in these times. Note verse 3 again. I can't get over that. But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. See, what a time to assess, are you godly? What a time to assess our life. Am I walking with the Lord? And then lastly, not only are we to cry out to the Lord and confront the crisis head on and encourage our family and friends, but we need to praise the Lord. Look in verses 6 through 8 again. Now, notice what it says. There are many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in my mind in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both, now listen to this, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only maketh me dwell in safety. You notice the progression. Hear how David started out in verse 1 and anxiety and discouragement and fret. But notice that the change that happened in his life from verse 1 to verse 8. And what he did was he contemplated on the goodness of God. He contemplated on the character of God. He contemplated on the Word of God. You see, that's it. That's the secret. No matter how the storm is and no matter what the crisis is, when you contemplate on the person and work of Christ and on God's character. But let me remind you, you can't do that unless you know something about God. First of all, you got to know God in a saving way. Second way, you got to know Him experientially. You got to know what His character is defined in the Bible. You know, you got to know that He's holy and just and gracious and things like that. And He's immutable. He doesn't change. So David began to focus and contemplate on God's character and His work. And then he comes to that place in verse 8 where he says, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only maketh me dwell in safety. Peace, or shalom, means much more than the absence of conflict. Peace does not mean you won't have hard times in your life, but peace means confidence and fullness of life and joy in Christ as you go through these. And John did a good job yesterday explaining the difference between peace with God and the peace of God. When we are saved, we have the peace with God. That enmity of sin is broken down. And we are in Christ. We are justified, declared righteous. But our trouble is Christians, folks, is we don't often live with the peace of God. We don't give ourselves to Him fully, and we don't walk in confidence and fullness of His Word and His promises. And I hope I'm not too far out of line here. But it's possible to have this peace even if God's sovereign will brings no deliverance, right?
Yeah, amen.
And we need to remember that. So contemplate on God's character and His works. And I'm not a doctor. I don't claim to be a doctor. I don't know this, but I do know what the Bible teaches. I believe that the best medication we can take for sleep is to contemplate on God.
Yeah.
Right? You can take the biggest sleeping pill you want to, but unless you contemplate on the character and the person of God, you know, just try it sometime. Throw those sleeping pills away.
Yeah.
Right?
Amen.
Oh, I'm getting in trouble now, man. Everybody's going to be suing me if they can't sleep. But contemplate on God's character and God's works, right? That's what happened to David between verse 1 and verse 8. You notice the change? Because he contemplated on God and who he was and what he has done, who he is and what he has done. So, Father, I pray today that as we go through this times of crisis, and this too will pass, this is not the end of the world. This is not, we're not, we know the signs. We know in Matthew 24, 6, 7, this is a birth pain. This is a shadow of things that are going to grow worse during the tribulation. Lord, and we do know that, Lord. We know our Bibles and we know what's happening. But Lord, I pray that you put a umbrella of a protection over our church people and protect our people, Lord. I pray that this virus will be arrested. And I pray, Father, that for a vaccine, for medications to be developed, I pray that people will use and do what the government says do. When they say stay in place, that's what they mean. We don't run all of the world like that, everything's like it used to be, that we exercise good judgment. But Lord, I just pray for our president as well, that you give him the knowledge of those around him, his task force. Lord, we believe them to be capable people. And Lord, we believe that he's doing the right thing for America. But Lord, our ultimate hope is not in him, it's in you. So Father, today we just commend these things to you. Take these truths and dwell them in our people's heart. Lord, seal them in our people's heart that they may practice. And we pray for Brother Glenn as he preaches tonight on something very similar. And Lord, we just pray that you anoint him tonight and use him in a mighty way as we comfort and our people through this crisis. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Tune in tonight, a little before 6, and you'll hear Brother Glenn.